Good morning. Welcome to all those that are with us for the shiur today. We'll be continuing in Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Halacha Aleph, Paragraph Gimel. Before we begin, I received a question from someone, and it's a question that comes up pretty often from people. We've answered it in the past, but maybe we'll answer it now again for all those that are listening and for documentation purposes. Rabbi Nachman speaks in many Torahs about attaching oneself to the tzaddik of the generation. The question is, who is the tzaddik of the generation today? How do the Breslovers hold? Is it Rabbi Nachman, or does it mean a physically living person in every generation? The answer is that in Breslov Chassidus, there are two opinions, basically, that I'm familiar with. There's one opinion, which is pretty much a majority opinion, that Rabbi Nachman is the tzaddik of the generation from his time until the coming of Moshiach, that no one else carries that title. There are tzaddikim in every generation, but the term tzaddik hador, the leading tzaddik of the generation, refers to Rabbi Nachman. All the other leaders are in the category of students. They are leaders, they are rabbis, we turn to them for advice and guidance, but we don't look at them as the tzaddik hador in the context that Rabbi Nachman refers to. There's another opinion that says that Rabbi Nachman, from the time that he was living until Moshiach, is a leader of Klal Yisrael. However, in addition to him, there needs to be a physically living person in the generation who is attached to Rabbi Nachman, who is the physically living example of the presence of Rabbi Nachman in the generation. The different rabbis that I had carried these different opinions. I try personally to respect both. When my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, was living, told his students, the person who he felt was the Tzaddik Hador during the time of Rabbi Avram Sternhartz, Rabbi Avram Koch of Lev, who lived for 93 years. Rav Rosenfeld felt positive that he was the leading tzaddik of the generation. After he passed away, Rav Rosenfeld searched, and then the person who he attached himself to was Rebbe Eliyahu Chaim Rosen, Zichron Avrocha, who passed away shortly after Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, which is 40 years ago, approximately. For now, I'd like to leave it at this. In terms of this being accepted by the majority of tzaddikim, not necessarily. We know, for example, we're approaching Lag BaOmer now, the holiday that celebrates the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We're told that when his Rebbe, when Rabbi Akiva was about to pass away, he gathered the students and he appointed Rabbi Meir to be the Rosh Yeshiva after Rabbi Akiva passes away. And when he turned to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zal, he said to him, "Your greatness only Hashem and I know." So sometimes it could appear that there's a person who's the leading Rosh Yeshiva, who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham and tremendous greatness, and yet it doesn't necessarily mean that he's the greatest tzaddik. It could be someone else. Let's go into the Likutei Halachos. I hope we'll possibly be able to complete this halacha today. Rav Nosson Zal speaking about the shofar, and he was basing it on chapter 9 in Likutei Moran, where the main topic there is emes, and a person during tefillah, especially when a person feels themselves surrounded by darkness, by clouds, which means all kinds of extraneous thoughts that bombard a person during tefillah, that don't allow the person to really give out the tefillah the way he would like to, Rabbi Nachman says over there in Likutei Moran, what the person should turn to is emes, and try to speak the words of tefillah, even if the person isn't on fire, even if the person doesn't feel tremendous spiritual inspiration, the person should try to speak the words with emes, with as much truth and sincerity from the heart as the person can. And emes is a light. The pasuk says, "Shlach urcha v'amitcha," Hashem, send us your light, your truth. Rabbeinu Zal says that the emes will serve as a light to shine a path for the person to get out of the darkness. Inside the Likutei Halachos, paragraph Gimel, V'alkein yochid moitzias harabim yedei chayvosam b'tkiyah shofar. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on that chapter in Likutei Moran, we're going to be able to understand why the norm in blowing shofar is that you have one person who blows for an entire shul or an entire community. Ki ha'ikar tolui beyochid. Because what Rabbi Nachman is speaking about over there in Likut Imran, about the emes and through the emes being able to find an exit, a way to get out of darkness, Rav Nosson Zal says that depends especially on an individual person, Shemis Oirer, who is inspired, V'tsoyek be'emes l'Hashem Yisbarach, and cries out to Hashem with truth, with real honesty and sincerity, Shalidei zeh oise pesach sheyetsu boy acherim min achoshech shelohem. This person, this individual person, who feels himself surrounded by darkness and therefore turns on the emes to the fullest that the person can, and we said that that shines a light and shows the person a path to get out of the darkness. Rabbeinu Zal says in Likut Imran that it's not just a path for himself, but he creates a path and an opening so that others who are surrounded by darkness should also be able to get out. Kemoy sheshamati mi Rabbeinu Zal al posuk upesach hateva betzido tosin. As I heard when Rabbeinu Zal was explaining the posuk that refers to Noah's Ark, which that Torah is based on, and the pasuk says there that you will prepare an opening on the side of the ark. The word betzido refers also to trap. The term letzayod is a trapper, and Rabbeinu Zal says this refers to creating an opening for many people who find themselves trapped by the sitra achra, that when one Jew turns on this emes in tefillah, he creates an opening to help many Jews be able to get out of the darkness. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ayin shom b'mokom acher al posuk zeh. Take a look in Likut Imran, in chapter 112. There are two chapters in Likut Imran that are based on this, on Noah's Ark and this concept of searching for the emes. Chapter 9 and chapter 112. And they're both similar, but there are many differences between them. And in each one complements the other one. Here, Rav Nosson Zal now is with this concept of creating an opening, not just for yourself, but for others. I believe that that's discussed in chapter 112. And once this individual person who's praying with this emes is not only thinking about themselves, but they're also thinking about all the people that they're affiliated with, that find themselves in this darkness. And not just, I don't want to get out myself, I want to help myself and all my friends, everyone, be able to get out of the darkness. Azai then, kol mi sheroitze lotzeis, any person who wants to get out of darkness, umechavein liboy lozeh, and concentrates on this, thinks about this concept of being able to, that there is a path always, there is a way to get out of darkness. Azai yochel lotzeis derech ha-pesach she'oso ha-yochid kanal. Then all of those people can also get out of their darkness through the opening that individual person created. This might possibly explain why sometimes even tzaddikim are bombarded with extraneous thoughts during tefillah, so that the tzaddik feels himself surrounded by this darkness in a sense, and he has to fight it by focusing on this emes, this pure emes, and thereby creating an opening for himself and many other Jews to be able to get out of this darkness. Rav Nosson Zal adds now, V'alkein tkiya shofar toloi bekavonas halev. And this is why also the halacha tells us that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of blowing the shofar or listening to the shofar, the person who's blowing must have clear intention that I'm blowing shofar now in order to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Whereas, v'hatoikeya kimisaseg, whereas if a person who's blowing the shofar, just like, you know, to practice, or he's blowing because he wants to hear the sound, he wants to practice a song or something like that, u'l'shoirer, or for the sake of music, lo yotza, is not credited with fulfilling the mitzvah. Rav Nosson Zal says, why? Ki achar kavonas halev, hein hadvorim. Because the most important thing is what the intention of the person is, what the person is thinking in their heart. That's what's most important here. Ki tzorich lechavin liboi ma'oid. Because a person really has to activate their heart. When we're talking about tefillah here with emes, and a person wants to get out of this darkness, the heart is the main part of the body that needs to be activated, that needs to be involved. Ulahoitzi hakoil be'emes me'oimek halev, and to make sure that the person is giving out the sound of the prayer or the sound of the shofar from the depth of the heart. We know that in general, when it comes to tefillah, the Gemara refers to tefillah as avodah shebelev. It's a cardiac thing. Now, it must include the movement of the lips also and sound coming out, other than during Shmoneh Esrei. But the most important part is the heart. V'zeh shom rabbi seinu zal, and this is why the Gemara says, kol mi she'enoi mechuyev bedavor, Einoi moitzies harabim al yidei choiva. Any person who, for whatever reason, does not have the obligation to listen to the shofar, they don't have that mitzvah, cannot perform the mitzvah on behalf of others, cannot blow the shofar in order to help others fulfill their mitzvah. This doesn't mean a person who already heard the sounds of the shofar necessarily. Could be it means a person who's deaf, who cannot hear at all, or something like that. Those people who are excluded completely from the mitzvah cannot perform the mitzvah on behalf of others. Rav Nosson Zal says, Bozeh, in this halacha, merumas, is hinted to us, ki daiko mishehu chayev ma'oid be'ena yatzmoy, that the only two types of people who can make this happen, this concept of employing the emes to shine a light and to create, to show a person the opening how to get out of the darkness, is a person who perceives himself as being in darkness, a person who perceives himself as having done many wrongs, and therefore is in a dark place and wants to get out of the darkness, even if he's a tzaddik. We know that tzaddikim generally are very humble. And in their humility, they don't perceive themselves as being tzaddikim. They perceive themselves as being people who are still very far from Hashem, and they still have a lot of things to fix, to correct. A person like that, who feels that he still has a lot to correct, he is still in darkness, he has not achieved the full measure of light. Or, that's the first category, where he calls it a person who is chayev moed be'enei atzmoy. In his own eyes, he considers himself very guilty, even though he's not necessarily guilty. Oy, or the second type of person, shehu chayev be'emes, who is really a guilty person, a person who has really committed many sins and therefore is surrounded by darkness. Only these two types of people, va'azai, and then, migoidel ha'choshech v'halachat zvatcha kamesave v'yose mikol atzdodim, because of the fact that these two types of people feel themselves surrounded on all sides by darkness, by klipos, who tsoyek, and as a result of that, who tsoyek be'emes l'Hashem Yisborach, he cries out to Hashem with real honesty and sincerity, zeh, this type of person, these two types of people, Yochoy Lasois Pesach, have the ability to locate and find and create that opening, to get out of the darkness, Sheyetsu Boy Gam Acherim, by which not only they, but other people also will be able to get out of their darkness through this opening. And this is why our rabbis also tell us regarding a leader, a Jewish leader, the Gemara says, Ein memanim parnei salat zibur, elo mi shekupo shel shrotzim toloi me'achorov. We don't appoint a leader over a community unless he has some dirty laundry in his background. The Gemara refers to it as a basket of rodents in his behind him. Why? The Gemara says so that he won't be arrogant, so that that'll always keep him in check, and therefore he'll be able to fulfill his responsibility correctly. So we see that again, sometimes Kaviyochel Hashem will make it that a tzaddik, who has supposed to be a leader of the community and everything, Hashem will see to it that he has something in his background that isn't 100% pure, in order that this enables him to help all the people who are impure. By the tzaddik addressing that slight impurity on his side, this enables him to be able to create openings and assist the thousands of people who are very impure to be able to have an opening. We know Rabbeinu Zal presents this concept in another place in the Kutimran, where he speaks about the Oitzar Matnas Chinam, that there's a treasury of free gifts for those people who don't qualify, for those people who haven't done mitzvahs and study Torah, whereby they deserve blessings from Hashem. For those people, there's a treasury of free gifts. And that applies to Jews, and Rabbeinu Zal says it even applies to non-Jews in a degree, in terms of how do they exist? If we know that Torah is called life, then a person who's not fully connected to the Torah, how are they existing? And Rabbeinu Zal there goes into a long discussion that there is this Oitzar Matnas Chinam. However, for Hashem to create this Oitzar Matnas Chinam only for Rishoyim, let's say, only for bad people or something like that, wouldn't really be appropriate. So Hashem creates a situation whereby even the tzaddik has to come on to that. Even the tzaddik has to take a break from Torah sometimes for physical needs and other things. And because the tzaddik has to come on to that, it already is made available also to other people who are not tzaddikim, in order for them to benefit from this Oitzar Matnas Chinam. I just wanted to touch on that for those people who are familiar with the concept, or those people who aren't, to get an idea about this. Back inside, V'alkein, and therefore, Daiko mi shehu mechuyev bedvar hatshuva, it's specifically a person who has an obligation to do tshuva, meaning the person has committed sins. And that person has upon them the yoke, the responsibility of doing tshuva. That person is able to help others fulfill their responsibility in doing tshuva. Gamkein. In addition, to create an opening for them also, Lotzeis to get out of the darkness, to get out of their sins, al yedei kriyosoi be'emes l'Hashem Yisborach, by this individual person crying out to Hashem be'emes, whether he's a type A or type B. Type B is a person who has himself done many sins and has to do tshuva, and therefore he can be very sincere in his prayer and try to turn on this emes to create this opening for himself and for many others. Or if it's a tzaddik who doesn't have sins, but because of his humility, he perceives himself like a person who does. And the tzaddik is always trying to do tshuva as if he were a real Baal tshuva, as if he was somebody who really had a lot to correct. That person also, because of that attitude, that enables him to create the opening for himself and for others. I remember once hearing Rav Rosenfeld say about one of the Breslov tzaddikim, living tzaddikim, during the time of Rav Rosenfeld, that when this tzaddik was saying he has to do tshuva, he really has to do tshuva, Rav Rosenfeld said, I'd like to trade some of my mitzvahs for some of his averis. Meaning what he would consider an avera is probably far superior to some of my mitzvahs, because he perceived that person on being on such a high level. Any questions before we continue?
I'm wondering how this discussion about handling the darkness relates to the Torah in Likutei Maran, and Moshe went into the darkness itself, and there he perceived Hashem drawing him closer and closer. It's a little confusing to me how that works.
There, Rabbi Nassal speaks about the fact that Hashem very often is hidden, covered up by darkness. That darkness is generated by us, by our sins, our problems. There's a pasuk that Rabbi Nizal quotes, I believe possibly in the chapter we're dealing with now, chapter 9. The pasuk says, Sakoisa be'onon loch me'avur tfila. You've made a sukkah around yourself of clouds that does not allow your prayer to get through, to get to Hashem. Now this sukkah of darkness can be around the person, or kaviyochel, this sukkah of darkness can be surrounding the Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem. That we, as a result of our mistakes, our sins, there are barriers, there are all kinds of walls up, making it difficult for people to get to Hashem. When we see those walls, all we see is darkness. But when a Moshe Rabbeinu sees that darkness, he knows that it's only on the outside, it's an exterior, that inside the darkness is the divine presence of Hashem. So there is definitely a similarity between the two, I believe.
Rav Nassim Zal talks about the person who's calling out to Hashem in truth, and he's opening and openings for other people.
Yes.
It sort of sounds like, well, they're getting it on easy street that they can just walk through. Or is it that he's the person who's calling out in truth, he's now enabling and opening for the others to also...
Correct. It's not easy street. He's enabling. We need to know that when all of us stood at Mount Sinai, all of us signed a commitment, committing ourselves to fulfill the Torah. In addition, each one of us co-signed on behalf of every single other Jew. All of us are responsible for each other, and we're very much linked together. There's no such thing as a Jew saying, I'll do my own thing, and it doesn't affect others. The Gemara says, for example, that a person should always perceive the entire Jewish nation as being equally balanced between sins and mitzvahs. And the next mitzvah that I do, or chas v'shalom, the next sin that I do, can tip the scales not just for myself, but for the entire Jewish nation. So there's tremendous significance as to how we are connected to each other, how we relate to each other. Now, not all Jews are in the same position, meaning that when a tzaddik is doing tshuva, let's say, those who are closer to the tzaddik will benefit more from that. Those who are further away from the tzaddik will benefit less from that, but they still can benefit. Those who are closer to the tzaddik, it'll be much easier for them because of their closeness to the tzaddik. When he creates that opening, they're right next to him and it's easier for them to go through it. Paragraph Dalid, V'alkein, now Rav Nosson Zal says, now we'll understand why when it comes to the laws of the mitzvah of shofar, everything is in threes. Hatrua mishuleshes. The sound of the trua is three notes. Whether it's the shvarim sound, which is three notes, or whether it's the trua that we blow today, which is three times three, much shorter staccato notes. V'chein klal tkia shofar mishulash. And in general, the whole blowing of the shofar is generally three. It's a tkia shvarim tkia, or tkia trua tkia, or tkia and shvarim trua go together, and then tkia. shofar mishula, shalosh shel shalosh shalosh. Ki ikar tkiya shofar hu bechinas emes. Because throughout this halacha we were stressing that the shofar represents this emes, shehu mishulash. And we know that emes is three. The word emes has three letters in it, number one, and not just three letters, but the three letters that represent the entire alphabet. The first letter of the Aleph Beis, the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, the Mem, and the Tuf, the last letter of the Aleph Beis. And in addition, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Emes, it represents the three of the four basic elements of creation. Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. And also, Bechinas Roish, Toich, Soiv, beginning, middle, and end. So Emes is all about this three. We know the Torah is called Emes, and the basic Torah is Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. And the Torah was given us in the third month, in the month of Sivan, by the third child, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third one in his family. V'al yodoy, and the Jews made 3 days of preparation to receive the Torah. V'al yodoy mesaken gimeloy lomos. Rabbeinu Zal tells us over there in Likutei Moran that through this emes, we have the ability to perfect the three worlds. Bechinas tachtiim, shniim, ushlishim, which correspond to the three levels in the ark, in Noah's ark, the three floors in Noah's ark. Kama shekosov Rabbeinu Shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moran, Ayin Shom. Very often we refer to four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, but there are many Sfarim that refer to it in a different format. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes this over there in chapter 9, where he speaks about the Olam HaShofol, the lowly world, which is this physical world, the Olam HaKoychavim, the world of the stars and the sun and the moon, and then the spiritual world, which is called Olam HaMalachim, Shofol, Koychav, Malach, those three. And Rabbeinu Zal says that a Jew who perfects themselves in Emes, that person is sending light and tikkunim to all three of these worlds. V'alkein, and now we'll understand also why hatikios b'shas hatfila, why we're blowing shofar in middle of davening. Well, make up your mind. Are we blowing shofar or are we praying? Why don't we first finish praying and then blow the shofar? Why this chant? Ki al yodom tikkun hatfila. Because the blowing shofar, which we said is the sound of Emes, the sound of Yaakov Avinu, that's what's greasing our prayer. That's what's helping our prayer be perfected. V'alkein toikim shtei mesrei truos. And this is why the trua, which is the only sound that's mentioned in the Chumash, as we mentioned earlier, Rosh Hashanah is referred to as Yom Trua. And when the Pasuk speaks about blowing shofar, it says, Usekatem Trua. We know that we today blow a few different Tkia, Shvarim, Trua. However, the most basic sound is the Trua. Rabbi Nosson says, now you'll understand why we blow a total of 12 Truas. Dahainu, Shisha Meyushav, 6. In the first 30 sounds of the shofar that are blown before Shmon Esrei, the Shisha Me'umad, and there are 6 truas that are blown during the Shmon Esrei, during the recital of the Shmon Esrei. Rav Nosson Zal clarifies now, Ki b'shloishim koilos de'meyushav, because during the 30 sounds of the shofar that are blown, which are called Meyushav, before Shmon Esrei, yesh Shisha truas. You'll see there that there are 12, that there are 6 truas. V'chein b'shloishim koyle shetoikim al seder habrochais. And so too in the 30 sounds of the shofar that are blown during the silent Shmon Esrei, there's also 6 truas. Kihein ikar hachiyuv. Because that's the real basic obligation of hearing the sounds of the shofar. V'hashar heim noisofim. The rest is added on. where the rabbis in the Gemara learned out how they came to a decision that we today blow 100 sounds of the shofar. But the real base, Rav Nosson Zal is telling us, is these 12 truos, Keneged Yud Beis Shiftei Bnei Yaakov, corresponding to the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu, Shehem Bechinas Yud Beis Nuschoyes HaTfila, which represent the 12 versions of prayer. The Arizal speaks about this, and it's mentioned in other places, that each Shevet has its own Nusach of Tefillah. Today we don't know all of these different Nuschoyes. Today we generally have Nusach Sfard, Nusach Ashkenaz, we have the Nusach Sfaradi, and then there's Temani, which is a little bit different. But that's the ones that we're aware of today. There are Sforim that write that some of these Nuschoyes are representative of all 12. Shenistakein al yidei ho'emes. And these 12 paths of tefillah are perfected through emes. Shezeo bechinas trua kanal, which is the sound of the shofar, especially the trua, which represents the 12 tribes, the sons of Yaakov, who is the midah of emes. Any questions? Okay. Paragraph Hey, V'alkein shofar hu bechinas yitzias Mitzrayim, kayadua. Now we'll understand also the connection between shofar and the Jews leaving Egypt. If you recall, we mentioned on the previous page, on the top line, the first line on the page, we said V'alkein shofar hu bechinas alma da'osi, shehu bechinas bina, bechinas tshuva, that shofar represented olam haba, which is Bina, which is Tshuva, and we explained it. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the topic of Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned in the Chumash exactly 50 times to show us that the Jews went out of Egypt through Bina. Through, just like the Jubilee year is called Yovel, the Jubilee year, the 50th year, when all servants are freed, is called Yovel, and it's brought that the word Yovla in Aramaic, Yud Vav Veiz Lamed Aleph, is Bigimatria 49, I believe. And with the Kolel, it's 50. So again, this concept of coming out of slavery, the concept of freedom, is associated with Bina, which is the shofar, the sound of the shofar. Bina is the 50 gates of Bina. Rav Nosson Zal explains, because Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Maran, Ki ikar golus Mitzrayim hu al yidei pegam hatfila. The main thing that leads to exile, and especially the exile of Egypt, is a lack of emuna, which is a lack of which means that the tefila is imperfect, because emuna and tefila are synonymous. There's a pasuk in the Chumash where it says Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were stretched out in a display of faith in Hashem, vayehi yotav emuna, and the Targum says tefillah. So emuna and tefillah are synonymous, and we know that golus comes through pegam emuna, which means pegam tefillah, as Rabbeinu Zal says over there. V'chein la'osid, and so too, when the Torah speaks about the future, when we'll really be free from all exile, it says, ubeshoifar godol yitoka, that a great shofar will be blown. Ki ikar hageula tolui bozeh. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, the redemption, one of the main factors in us being able to get out of exile, is this. What is this? Al yidei shenistakein hatfila. By us improving and perfecting our tefillah, al yidei bechinas emes, by making sure that the tefillah has this quality of emes to it. K'may shekosef shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, ayin shom. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, shofar hu bechinas Yaakov. The shofar is associated with Yaakov. We mentioned this before, because we speak about the koil shofar, and Yaakov Avinu is known HaKoil Koil Yaakov. Rav Nosson Zal now makes another connection. There's a Gemara that says, Bechinas Shufrei de Yaakov, Me'en Shufrei de Odom. The handsomeness, The beauty of Yaakov Avinu resembled the handsomeness and beauty of Adam Arishain, and that word shufrei is used. V'zeh b'chinas teka b'shoifer. And with this, we also understand one of the blessings in the Shmon Esrei, where we say to Hashem, please blow that shofar, v'son neis, and lift up a flag, lekabetz kol yoseinu, to take us out of exile. The word neis means like a flag. The word neis also means miracle. Turn on those miracles. K'alidei shofar, shubachinas emes, v'tikan atfila, because through the shofar, which represents emes, and that's one of the main things that improves and perfects our tefillah. Alidezeh nis'alin hanisim. This ups the ante of miracle. This increases the miracles in the world. Shehu bechinas tefillah, which is synonymous with prayer. We know that in chapter 7 in Likut Imran, Rabbi Nisal goes into very clear detail to connect emunah, tefillah, miracles, and Eretz Yisrael. Because the concept of a miracle is a concept of lamala min ateva, above nature. And Rabbi Nizal says, when a person prays, they're showing that they don't believe in nature. They don't believe in that everything is natural and everything is predestined and nobody can do anything to change it. When we're praying, we're turning to Hashem and asking Hashem, whatever is not good, whatever I perceive as not being good in my life, whether it's the weather, whether it's my parnasa, whether it's anything else, I'm asking Hashem to change it. So that in prayer we show that we believe in the power, in lamala min ateva, that things are not dictated to by teva, that the teva can be overridden by the hashgacha of Hashem. Questions? Just before we leave this paragraph, throughout Likutei Maran and throughout all the Sfarim, and we've always stressed this, that tefillah and Torah are dependent on each other. The Gemara says, quotes a pasuk, "Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah gam tefilosoi toyeva." That a person who turns their ear away from listening to Torah, their tefillah is despicable, chas v'shalom. And we know that the Torah is emes. So one of the ways of a person injecting emes into the tefillah is by learning Torah, and especially learning Torah before davening or after davening. And that's one of the reasons why we read the Torah in middle of davening. Because just like the shofar injects emes into the tefillah, the Torah is the ultimate symbol of emes. And by davening in a shul where there's a sefer Torah present, and the reading of the Torah, and facing the ark, all of these things, we're connecting to this emes. Somebody had raised the question yesterday. We said that the shofar wakes a person up from sleep. Are there other things? The answer is yes. The tzaddik, the mission of the tzaddik is to wake us up. When the Torah speaks about the leaders of the generation reprimanding us and guiding us, Hashem says, Horeim kashofar koilech, lift up your voice like the shofar, v'haged la'ami pisham, and tell my nation what's wrong with them. In other words, enlighten them. So coming close to tzaddikim is what will help a person get out of their spiritual sleep. And in addition, the Torah itself, when it's studied properly, the Torah is emes, the Torah is light, the Torah is this coil. We speak about the coil Torah, that when a person learns, they're supposed to learn out loud to hear the words that you're saying. That the sound of a person learning Torah is also this sound of the shofar.
Rav Nosson, can I ask a question?
Please.
One of the things about davening in this time, where davening outside and with a minyan, my challenge is that prayer is at a different pace that I'm used to in the shul. And it's a struggle sometimes of connecting with tefillah at my own pace, my own rate, and then getting all the communal things like the Kedusha and the Baruch Hu and all the communal things. So I was just wondering if Rav Nosson could speak a little bit about how to balance personal pace versus communal pace.
The Gemara tells us that prayer is among the most important things in Yiddishkeit, way, way up there, and people don't take it seriously enough. So It's a problem. It is a problem, number one. And one of the very important things that a person has to look for when they're deciding where to live is to be near a shul that has real, authentic prayer, where the people coming there are not looking to get it over with. Rabbi Nizal writes this exact words, I'm quoting Likut Imran. He says that many, many people, their attitude towards prayer is they're looking for the fastest minyan. They're looking to find ways how to get out as quickly as possible. So number one, to try to choose a shul where the davening is quality. In a case where it doesn't match what the person's looking for, one of the advices that I heard my rabbis give is that if the minyan starts at 7 o'clock, you be there 6:30 and start way before them. And there are certain parts of the tefillah, let's say the Shmon Esrei, you definitely want to say it with the tzibur, if at all possible. So to start early enough that even at your own pace, you're able to get there. I can't get into all the details of the laws of which parts you must say, and in certain cases, we skip certain parts in order to line up with the tzibur. But it's a matter sometimes of starting before them and staying a little bit after them. If a person is davening in a group where it's not the pace that he's used to or not the pace that he prefers.
Thank you.
Sure. The next paragraph, Inyan Hameya Koilois, regarding the fact that today we blow 100 sounds of the shofar. I heard from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, that the Zohar HaKadosh says, where do we see this in the written Torah, anything about 100 sounds? There's a pasuk that the Chazan announces before blowing of the shofar, Ashrei ha'om yoidei serua. Blessed is the nation who knows the sound of the shofar. The word yoidei, yud vav dalet ayin yud, is exactly bigimatria 100. This is a remez, a hint in the written Torah, that again, the full spectrum of the sounds of the shofar is 100 sounds. And Rabbi Nizal in Likutei Moran and Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos speak about this tens of times, that the sounds of the shofar are actually the 10 types of song by which Tehillim is comprised of. And again, each one of them includes all 10. So that's why it's 100. So the sound of the shofar also represents like the Tikkun HaKloli, the 10 sounds of music, the 10 Asora Mine Negina. But let's see what Rav Nosson Zal says now. Al Pima Shekosav Rabbeinu B'maymar Posach Rabbi Shimon Eis Lasis Lashem. This is going to be based on a different chapter in Likut Imran than one we've been talking about till now. This is based on chapter 60 in Likut Imran, where that's a shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave on Rosh Hashanah. And it's a long chapter of Likut Imran, and in one of the paragraphs there, he touches on the topic of shofar. Rabbeinu Zal says there also, Sheshofar hu bechinas hizgalus hayira, that shofar is a revelation of fear and awe and respect for Hashem. We mentioned the pasuk, can a shofar be blown in a city and the people won't tremble? So shofar is yira. And over there in Likut Imran, Rabbi Nizal shows that through Yira, a person is zoicha to Arichas Yomim, and with Arichas Yomim, a person can be zoicha to wealth. Rabbi Nizal brings all the psukim to put it together perfectly. V'hayira hu bechinas pachad Yitzchak. And we know that Yira is associated with Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu is known as pachad. Avram Avinu is Ahava, Yitzchak Avinu is Yira. V'Yitzchak Zocho La'ashirus Al Yidei Shehimshich Arichas Yomim. And the Torah tells us that Yitzchak Avinu was Zoche to wealth as a result of the fact that he was able to draw long life, to lengthen his days, Arichas Yomim. And Rabbi Nizal over there in Likut Imran shows this, he quotes the pasuk, Yiras Hashem Toisif Yomim. That when a person has pure Yiras Hashem, that stretches their days, that increases their days. Bechinas Yira Be'eretz Plishtim. This refers to the Yira that Yitzchak Avinu had when he was in the land of the Philistines. Kamay Shekosav, as it says clearly in the Torah, Vayhi ki orchu loy shom hayomim. It was after Yitzchak Avinu had been there for a long time. And again, it uses this word orchu, this arichas yomim, about Yitzchak Avinu. Vayidei ze zochol ashirus. And this is what led to Yitzchak Avinu achieving wealth. K'may shekosev, as it says right there in the shortly afterwards, Vayizra Yitzchak, that Yitzchak Avinu planted, Vayimtso Meo Sheorim, and he founded 100 gates, referring to, again, a tremendous expansion of wealth that Yitzchak Avinu achieved there. And corresponding to those Meo Sheorim, that those 100 gates, Keneged Ze Toiken Meo Koilos, we blow the 100 sounds of the shofar, Keneged Meo Sheorim, Shezoichen Al Yidei HaShofar, these 100 gates which were zoiched to through the shofar, which is yira, which leads to arichas yomim, which leads to wealth. V'alkein tkiya shofar sholosh shel sholosh sholosh. And this is why blowing the shofar is three sounds, and each one of the three is comprised of three. Bechinas hisgalus shleimus hayira. This is tied into what Rabbi Nizal explains over there in chapter 60, when he explains Yira. He goes into detail on the topic of Yira, and he shows how in Yira, there are three categories of Yira. There's the Yira that a child has for a parent, there's the Yira that a student has for a rabbi, and then there's the Yira for Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal goes into this elaborately there. The Shloisha Kavin Yira, the three channels of Yira, the Chol Kav Kol Misholosh. And Rabbi Nizal shows there how each one of those has all three in them in reality. V'alkein Sorich Likrois Lefnei Atekeya. And this is also why, besides the one blowing the shofar, there's a very important person who is called the Baal Makri, the one who announces what sound of the shofar should be blown now. Because Rabbi Nizal shows over there in Likutei Moran that Yira require ki ikar hisgalus hayira al yidei dibur. The main revelation of Yira is dependent on speech. Sheyotze, and speech can only come out al yidei hisoirus hashena, when a person is woken up from sleep. When a person's asleep, they're not talking. There are some people, the rare exceptions, who talk in their sleep, but the norm is that sleep is a shutdown. When a person is not speaking anymore, or usually not speaking intelligently at least. And Rabbi Nizal says there that by waking up from sleep, and a person then is zoicha to dibur, that leads to yira. Rabbi Nizal shows this all in Likutei Moran through all the psukim. V'alkein, and therefore, so that's why we have the makri. Besides the person blowing the shofar, we have a person speak, announcing verbally what sound of the shofar is to be blown. V'alkein, yesh deya, shetkiya rishona, ein likrois lefnei atekeya. Rav Nosanzal says, now you'll understand also why there's an opinion in halacha that says that regarding the first sound of the shofar that's going to be blown, that first kia, the Baal Makri should not announce it. You know, the Baal Tokea makes the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Asher Kedeshono B'Mitzloisa V'Tzivonu, Lishmoya Koil Shofar, blast, and he blows it, so that there shouldn't be any interruption between the bracha and that first sound that's being blown. It's not what we follow today, but it is an opinion in halacha. Rav Nosanzal says, you know why? Ki oz adayin bechinas heder adibur. Because before that first sound of the shofar has been blown, we're still asleep. We're not yet in a state of dibur. Rabbi Nizal says there that in order to have dibur, you got to wake up from sleep. And the sound of the shofar is what wakes you up from sleep. So before that first sound is being blown, we're still spiritually asleep. Bechinas, as Rabbi Nizal over there quotes a pasuk, Tokato lazor kapecha, you extended your hand to a stranger, noikashto beimrei ficha, and because of that you stumbled in the words of your mouth. Rabbi Nizal shows that the word tokato, which is miloshen tekiya, refers to lack of dibur, in a sense. So that first tekiah is not yet dibur. Ki oz adayin b'chinas heder adibur, we said. Kumo shekos of Rabbeinu Shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Kutimran, she tekiah merames al zeh, that the term tekiah is merames for lack of dibur. Next, v'zeh b'chinas his admus p'nei atekeah. And this is why the Sifrei Kabbalah speak about the fact that the Baal Tokeah, when he's blowing shofar, usually his face turns red a little from the action of blowing the shofar. And there's tremendous spiritual significance to that. The Arizal speaks about it, and Rav Nosson Zal speaks about it in many places in Likut Imran, the significance of the reddening of the face of the Baal Tokeah. What does that represent? Hainu al yedei hashivim ponim shel his oirus hashena, k'mo shekos v'sashon. Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likut Imran says that when a person is fully awake and their face is shining, then it's shining with the 70 faces of the Torah, the 70 interpretations, the 70 channels of the Torah. It's called shivim ponim shel Torah. When a person is asleep, depending on how deeply asleep they are, they're disconnecting from these 70 channels of the Torah. And the Gemara tells a story about a rabbi who slept for 70 years. Rabbeinu Zal says in Likut Imran, this means that it's possible for a person to fall into a spiritual sleep where the person pulls out all 70 wires. They disconnect themselves, chas v'shalom, completely from the Torah. So Rav Nosson Zal says here that the reddening of the face of the Baal Tokeah, we said that the shofar is waking up. That's that the face is shining. That's the redness in the face. It's shining from this connection to the Torah. Because remember, the shofar was blown at Matan Torah. When the Jews received the Torah in Har Sinai, there was the sound of the shofar. V'al kein iker tekiya shofar al tikan abris, k'moy she'isa b'ksovim. And this is also why the Arizal makes us a very important connection between the blowing of the shofar and purity in Tikkun HaBris. I don't recall hearing what it is specifically, but Rav Nosson Zal knew the writings of the Arizal very thoroughly. He's telling us that the Arizal speaks about this, about the connection between Tkiyah Shofar and Tikkun HaBris. Ki al yedei hayira shenizgale al yedei hashofar, because through the yira that's revealed and generated by the blowing of the shofar, nichna yoifi hanoshim. That subdues the beauty of the women. Over there in chapter 60 in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal has a major paragraph speaking about this concept of the beauty of women and a person being taken in by external beauty or a person achieving Tikkun HaBris. And Rabbeinu Zal associates it with yira and also with breathing, shortness of breath and long breath, which is also shortness of life and long life. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran. So obviously, one of the important things to be thinking about when we're hearing the sound of the shofar is that I want to do tshuva for any mistakes that I made in the area of Tikkun HaBris, and I'm asking Hashem to help me by hearing the sound of the shofar through that yira that it promotes, that I should be zecha to improve everything I need to in all mitzvahs, but especially in Tikkun HaBris. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? Wonderful. Tonight is Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni represents a second chance for anyone who needs a second chance in any way. And there are two places in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal speaks about Pesach Sheni, and he focuses on this, that Pesach Sheni delivers this message. If I'm far away from holiness, or if as a result of my tumah, I missed out on an important opportunity for holiness, if I go to the tzaddik, like those people went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and I say to him, you're the tzaddik, I need you to help me. I was tumah, I'm distant. And I know that doesn't mean that I have no chance. There's no such thing as giving up on anybody. Help me, give me a solution. The tzaddik will connect with Hashem and will be able to bring down the solution, the customized solution that every individual person needs to come close to Hashem and to get out of the tumah. Our custom is we try to save a little bit of the matzah from Pesach to eat it on Pesach Sheni. And generally the custom is to do it by day, I believe. Not necessarily tonight, but more so tomorrow morning for breakfast, if a person can. It's not a halacha, it's a custom, it's a choshev custom, like all choshev customs. Want to wish everybody a good day. Hope tomorrow we'll be starting the second halacha, which is longer. It's based on one of the deep chapters in Likutei Moran, chapter 66. There'll be a lot of eye-opening revelations in the next halacha, Mitzvah Shem. All the best.
Thank you so much, Arav.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A wonderful day to all.